to all the powwows when we were young. At that time, children could not dance. Only people over 50 years of age could dance. Most people do not know this, that the government forbid children to dance Indian. And that was so they could wipe out the culture of the young people. And then finally, the new generation would never know what
happened. I'm a member of the American Indian Movement. And I'm from the indigenous nations of the Western Hemisphere.
We American Indians, we can be anything we want to be, except American Indians.
You were here long before any of us were here.
Buju, everybody. My name is Peggy Flanagan. Guabagani Gadikagna Jujaba. I'm from the White Earth Nation, and my family's the Wolf Clan.
There's trouble in Custer, South Dakota yesterday.
That the American Indian Movement is a very proud, continuing part of American Indian society. I thank you.
But what I tell you is that we are not backing down. We are here, we will stand here, because we have been here for 10,000 years. We're the home team, and we're not going anywhere. You're great.
Hey, Cudahy, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. I'm your host, Wakanjahare, Distant Thunder. We discuss local and national Native issues and events. As we all know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. I'm proud to work with Wendy Pilot and Curtis West on Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. We are pre-America, the descendants of the people you couldn't kill off. For each show we discuss on Native Roots Radio, what is important to us. We talk about our sacred animals, native lands, and how their natural resources are in danger. We speak against pipelines that go through our native and treaty lands. We put out tobacco for our relatives that are still suffering from the alcohol and drug problem. We support all language warriors that are preserving our language and way of life. We pray for our relatives that have gone through the Indian residential schools. Kill the Indian, save the man. To our missing and murdered Native women and men, you are not forgotten. My blood is as ancient as the earth I stand upon. I pre-exist America. We're proud to have Native American House Representative Mary Kunish Podine lead off today's show.
Hey everyone, it's State Representative Mary Kunish Podine. It is Friday, March 29th, and I thought I'd give you a little update on some of the things that are happening at the legislature. First thing I want to let you know is that there are some hearings coming up this next week. One of them is around our Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women's Task Force. The Senate wants to hear it, which is really great. That is on Tuesday, April 2nd. It'll be heard in the Senate Judiciary and Public Safety Committee, 1 o'clock, in the State Senate Office Building, Hearing Room 1100. And then the very next day, on Wednesday, April 3rd, the Environment and Natural Resource Policy Committee is going to hear the legislation around our American Indian Arts Grant. And that is again at 1 p.m., but this one is in the Capitol. It's on the ground level, room 15. So two really good pieces of legislation that's going to be coming up in the next week. But today I got to do a really cool thing. I took a break from the committee meeting I've been sitting in for 9 hours and went over to the Lower Phalen Creek Project. There was an open house and info session that Maggie Lorenz invited me to. She's the new manager of the Bruce Vento Nature Center Sanctuary. And for those of you who don't know what the Bruce Vento Nature Sanctuary is, it's a city park down on the Mississippi River Corridor, just east of the city's downtown district. And this sanctuary was a bit of a mess for a while. It was used for the railroad, and they stored their railroad cars down there. And then when it wasn't being used anymore, it ended up being a bunch of junk that just got dumped down there. But the sanctuary itself is right on the bluffs, the limestone bluffs and sandstone bluffs, and it dates back more than 450 million years. And that area down there was a spring-fed wetland, lots of bird life, and there used to be a pretty incredible view of the downtown St. Paul skyline and the Mississippi River. And so this river, or this park, was reopened to the public in 2005 and named after an early supporter, U.S. Representative Bruce Vento. But now they're working hard on restoring it to some of its original habitat and views, and also trying to figure out what to do with an area down there that's historically a pretty Native pretty sacred Native area. Just at the base of the bluff line, there's a cave that the Dakota people call Wakantipi. And I believe it's Spirit Cave in Dakota. And this cave had long been important for both the cultures of the Dakota and the Ho-Chunk, Anishinaabe, and the Dakota tribes. And it was an intersection where the roads between those three villages merged. And according to Dakota elders, there used to be some petroglyphs, some pretty important petroglyphs within the teepee, but those were destroyed when the railroad went through and they blasted off the front of that cave. Apparently it was a huge domed room and filled with petroglyphs. And those petroglyphs told very ancient stories made by men and spirit, as they were believed, and it was an incredibly powerful place. There were supposedly petroglyphs of men and birds, animal, fish, and turtles. And then there was most importantly a petroglyph within that Wakantipi that was a large rattlesnake. And those were pointing to or moving toward a common point that was directly over the widest part of the cave. And apparently the snake is the icon of healing and power and medicine, and thus the presence of the carved snake motifs showed that the cave was likely a place for healing ceremonies. And then in the back there are more caves. And another story is that it's a very sacred cave because it allowed a person to enter both simultaneously into the earth and darkness. And according to folklore, darkness is linked to both birth and death. And then those in turn, of course, are linked to our grandmother Earth. And apparently that's why sweat lodges and some vision quests also occur in the darkness. So the presence of this Wakantipi is certainly an important part of our historical story here in Minnesota. And I think Maggie's going to be working hard to create a sanctuary that both the indigenous community and the non-indigenous community can appreciate. I'm really looking forward to what she's going to be able to put together down there. I'm going to send some documents to Robert, and hopefully he'll post them. It'll give you a little bit more information about the restoration. And then, like a questionnaire, if you want to add anything to it, if you have ideas about what the new Bruce Vento Sanctuary should look like, you can give them your 2 cents. So that's what's been going on. I hope that you'll be able to get down there and check out the Bruce Vento Sanctuary. You can go down there now, walk around, take your dogs down there, check things out. But in the meantime, if you have any questions, you know you can find me at the legislature, and I'm happy to answer your questions. So everyone take care and have a really great weekend.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
The Neighborhood Cafe is a locally owned and operated business and proud sponsor of I'm Awake. Enjoy a great happy hour Tuesday through Saturday from 3 to 6 p.m. with specials on food and drinks. The Neighborhood Cafe serves breakfast, lunch, and dinner, all made from scratch daily. Located next to O'Gara's in St. Paul off Snelling and Selby, stop in and try one of their specialty sandwiches or delicious burgers paired with a local craft beer. More at theneighborhoodcafe.com.
J&S Bean Factory is a native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Native-owned Meg Mechanical is your local heating, ventilation, and air conditioning professional. Meg has the experience needed to diagnose and repair your heating and air conditioning systems. Whether repair or complete mechanical design, we do it all. No job is too big or too small. Meg Mechanical has completed projects as large as U.S. Bank Stadium and will provide the same great service in your home. Visit magmechanical.com or call 612-655-5339. Please remember Mag Mechanical when you have HVAC needs. Mention this ad to receive 1 hour of free service. Fig and Farrell. We are a mission-based restaurant. Serving up delicious plant-based food isn't our only priority. We are climate change activists who are educating guests on the enormous carbon footprint that is created by livestock production. Join us in eating less meat and enjoying food that is good for you and the planet. We're in Uptown Minneapolis, right in Calhoun Square, on the corner of Link and Hennepin. Visit figandfarrow.com for daily hours. Fig and Farrow, serving delicious plant-based food.
When we go out to browse for books and grab something to eat, Moon Palace Books is where we go.
This unique bookstore is located at 3032 Minnehaha Avenue in Minneapolis, just minutes from St. Paul.
A great place to find one-of-a-kind books, cards, and great gifts.
Geek Love Cafe at Moon Palace Books has cold-pressed coffee, pizza, salads.
Local, organic, fair trade, vegan, carnivore options.
Beer and wine.
Community and performance room.
Great parking.
What are we waiting for? Let's go to
Moon Palace Books, 3032 Minnehaha Avenue, Minneapolis.
Wajile, wajile.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. I'm your host, Wakanja Hade. Hey, right now I have Maggie Lorenz. Maggie Lorenz is a Lower Phalen Creek Project Interim Director. Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
Hi, Pilot.
Hey, can you tell me what Lower Phalen Creek Project is all about?
Yeah, definitely. So I have been working as the interim director. I was hired on actually as the director for the Wakana Tipi Center project, and then stepped into the interim role at the same time. But the Lower Phalen Creek Project, I started about a month ago, and it's Eastside St. Paul nonprofit organization that was founded back in 1997, really by neighborhood volunteers who were working in some of the parks on the east side, Sweet Hollow, and at the time it was not Bruce Vento Nature Sanctuary. It was an abandoned railroad yard. But there was a group of folks who came together and wanted to do some work in the parks, and that's how Lower Phalen Creek got started. The organization was named after its first initial project or vision, which was to daylight Lower Phalen Creek, which a lot of people don't know this, but over here on the east side, we have a, you know, pretty big regional park, Lower Phalen, or Phalen Regional Park and Phalen Lake. And from Lake Phalen, there is a creek that runs from the lake through the east side and down to Mississippi River. And this entire creek is actually underground in like a 20-foot in diameter, like storm drain. And so the Lower Phalen Creek Project started as an effort to bring that portions of that creek or the entire creek back above ground. So that's our namesake, was that project. But we've taken on a lot of work since then. So right now, some of the things that we're doing, we are still working on that project. So there are sections of the creek that are above ground now, and there are still yet more sections of the creek that we would like to see above ground. So that's still a work in progress. And we're doing some community engagement work with the city around the master plan for Sweet Hollow Park. And then there's our biggest project, which is the Wakana Tipi Center in Bruce Vento Nature Sanctuary.
So can you tell our audience, as a Native woman, how is this really important for our Native people here on the east side in the state of Minnesota?
Well, I first found out about Lower Phalen Creek and their project with Wakana Tipi Center about a year ago, I'd say. And I had found myself on some email list or on their email list for events and things that were happening. And there was an event that was going to be happening in Bruce Vento Nature Sanctuary around, you know, the topic was about Wakana Tipi. And so I was interested. It piqued my interest. So I went and I attended the event and I learned a little bit about what the organization was trying to do, which was create a interpretive center to interpret the sacred site and do some programming out of there. But at the time, I found it to be, and not intentional, I guess, but it was just problematic that there was this vision or this goal to do this important work, but there were really no, there wasn't involvement at the level I would have hoped for from the Dakota community. So that's when I kind of stepped in with myself and my husband and some other folks here on the east side in the community to try to help direct the project, help involve more people, help get the word out about the project. And that's when I kind of joined the board and I started learning more about it and through that capacity. And then after about 5 months, actually, that we were searching for a director for Waukon Teepee Center, we weren't really getting any applicants, or applicants that, you know, there was like one job, person that was offered the job, but didn't end up taking it. So, you know, we were just kind of coming up to a dead end as far as trying to recruit a director for that position. And so I decided, after talking to the board and the then executive director, Jacob Jurs, that I would step into that role, and I'm really happy to be doing this work. So
that's great. So what does the name mean?
So Waukon Teepee is House of the Spirits. And so this is a sacred site that is located within the current, currently designated park, Bruce Vento Nature Sanctuary, on the east side of St. Paul. A lot of people know this place as Carver's Cave, after Jonathan Carver, who was an explorer here in the late 1700s. And, he documented his experience of living very near the cave with the band of Dakota who were there at the time. So after his writings and everything, that it became known as Carver's Cave, but it's a place of significance for the Dakota people, and you know, a lot of ceremonies have been held there. There's a lot of stories, in our community about the site, and so.
So how old is the site, do you think? And where is it exactly, or roughly?
So, I mean, the site is, we have, it's as old as the land itself, as the earth. And we have documentation of, you know, the first explorers who came to this area and documented this, the activity, from our ancestors at that site. So it's been a really important place for our people for many hundreds of thousands of years. Mm-hmm. And what was the other question you asked?
Roughly where is it? Is it below like Mounds Park, or where is it exactly?
Yeah, so the cave itself is right below the burial mounds at Indian Mounds Regional Park in St. Paul. And so to get to Bruce Vento Nature Sanctuary is, also kind of a access issue that we're trying to work through. But there's a couple of different ways to get there. None of them are really easy. But one is right on 94 and Mounds Boulevard. There's a little side street called Commercial Street, and that will take you down to the entrance of Bruce Vento Nature Sanctuary. You can also park at the intersection of 7th Street and Payne Avenue. There's a parking lot there, a small parking lot with a trail that you can walk down to follow to get to Bruce Vento Nature Sanctuary. And then the cave, once you enter the sanctuary, you'll walk about a quarter mile or so down a trail, and it will be right at the end of that trail.
So we're here with Maggie Lorenzen, who's interim director of the Lower Phalen Creek Project. And I really want to thank you for giving us an update on what's happening there. And hopefully we'll have you on the show with some more updates. And really, Pini Gigi for being on our show today.
Yeah, I'm really glad to be here and get the word out about the work happening there.
Ahoo. Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back with Barry Hand.
Wajile,
Jay Selby's, an airy plant-based cafe serving up American classics, nestled in the heart of St. Paul in the historic Cathedral Hill neighborhood at 169 Victoria Street. Jay Selby's serves great plant-based food and only plant-based foods where customer service is a priority, great food a tradition, and a comfortable, cool space for like-minded people to gather and enjoy a sustainable, environmentally friendly, and compassionate meal. As the Star Tribune writes, Jay Selby's is an innovative vegan restaurant that does a spot-on Big Mac. It's a good day for good food.
While I'm pregnant, I can keep our baby safe by not drinking, smoking, or using drugs. But how are we going to keep her safe after she's born?
When I grow up, I look forward to dancing in powwows, going to college, and being successful. But I don't want to be one of 3 American Indian women to be raped or sexually assaulted in her lifetime.
As relatives and friends of Native women, it is our responsibility to stand up and speak out for every woman's right to be safe in her home and the community.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Northland Visions is a destination and Native-owned business to share with friends, specializing in Native American art from the woodlands and plains tribes surrounding Minnesota. They carry Native food like wild rice, wild berry jellies and syrups, also moccasins, blankets, beadwork, ceremonial supplies, beads, and much more. Visit northlandvisions.com to take a virtual 360 tour of our new space and new location at 861 East Hennepin Avenue in Northeast Minneapolis. Stop into Northland Visions for Native American art and unique Minnesota gifts.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Ho-Chunk Gaming Wisconsin, wherever you are and however you like it, we're just the place you're looking for. 6 unique, fun, exciting, winning destinations located throughout central Wisconsin. Make your rounds to Wittenberg, Nakusa, Black River Falls, Toma, Madison, or Wisconsin Dells for the hottest slots, most exciting games, award-winning guest service, delicious food and spirits, lodging, and live entertainment. Join the Ho-Chunk Gaming Rewards Club for free. And with a single card, you can earn valuable points no matter which of the 6 locations you choose to play. That means more exclusive offers, giveaways, cash back, discounts, and much more. Visit us online to see all we have to offer and find the fun times nearest you at HoChunkGaming.com. So wherever you are and however you like it, we're just the place you're looking for. Ho-Chunk Gaming Wisconsin, Wittenberg, Nakusa, Black River Falls, Toma, Madison, and Wisconsin Dells.
Experience the difference. Ho-Chunk Gaming Wisconsin.
Must be 21 or over to play.
With your AM 950 weather, this is Eric Nelson. Today will be sunny with a high near 40. Tonight, mostly clear with a low around 22. Sunday, scattered flurries before 11 a.m. with a high near 44 and a low around 29. Monday will be partly sunny with a high near 48 and a low around 31.
Don't miss the Home Improvement and Design Expo this Sunday only at the Healthy Sports Center, featuring up to 150 home improvement companies, giveaways, and more. It's the Home Improvement and Design Expo this Sunday at the Healthy Sports Center. See it all at expoguys.com. That's expoguys.com.
We are elusive.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Say, we asked Barry Hand to come out here and talk to us, and I wanted to talk to Barry. Barry is a Twin Cities language speaker and teacher and a good all-around guy. Barry, I asked Barry to come out here, and we wanted to talk about Indian identity and what does that all mean, especially with the Elizabeth Warren thing coming out here. And welcome, Barry, and thanks for coming on.
Hey, thanks for having me, Pilot.
Right on. So, what do we need to know about identity? I mean, there's ways that we know as Native people, but the non-Wanskis, they come up with other things too.
Well, American Indian identity in the United States, people need to understand, is really complicated, and it's complicated for a lot of different reasons. One of the main reasons is genocide and conquest and colonialism. Now, the United States had policies for African Americans of exclusion and segregation, and the federal policy since the onset of of the United States was either is either annihilation or assimilate, forced assimilation. And so in the beginning, the identities as defined by the United States government was for those purposes. However, our different nations throughout the United States, they had criterion for who was member of their community, who was part of their clan system, band system, what particular villages they may come from, because we had fully functioning governments. A lot of people think there's the stereotype that American Indian people were just these nomadic vagabonds that just went around the woods and lived with the land, and that couldn't be further from the truth. We had very, very sophisticated styles of governance that were not very close to anything you would find in Eastern or Western Europe. In fact, our system of government through the Haudenosaunee people, otherwise known as the Six Nations Confederacy, is what spurred the colonies to unite against England at the time, and they kind of found out this democracy from the Haudenosaunee. So if you go to the United States Capitol, there's a statue on the top of the Capitol, and that represents a Haudenosaunee man because of the Great Law of Peace. That was kind of the template for the Bill of Rights.
That's cool. So, like, I kind of want to get to the nuts and bolts of this. Let's say I meet somebody that I don't know, and I ask him a few questions. What would those questions entail? I think it's really good for our audience to hear this. What are these questions? Like, you come into a community, a Native community, and you say you're this or that. Can you give us just a quick run through?
Well, American Indian people, we've had a tough run. We have a lot of people who are not enrolled in federally recognized tribes. And enrollment, what that is there's federally recognized tribes. And those are tribes that have signed treaties with the United States of America and or through executive order are sovereign governments. And their enrolled tribal members are kind of like their citizenry. And it's a citizenship question. Some of these enrolled tribal members might not look what you would think how an American Indian is supposed to look. They might look predominantly Euro or predominantly Afro, but they're enrolled members of a federally recognized tribe. That means that community recognizes them. When you go into, now, I will say there are people who are left out. There was people who were adoptees. There's blood quantum issues. There's issues of disenrollment over tribal politics. Those things are all very, very, very real things and very, very kind of painful things, dirty laundry in our own community. But one of the things as American Indian people that we do when we meet other American Indian people, and I'm going to say American Indian versus indigenous, because indigenous does a real good job of erasure of American Indian people. Everyone that lives on the planet is indigenous from somewheres. And now that we say this term indigenous, American Indian people, again, become the doormat for more dominant groups with higher populations. So backing up a little bit, when American Indian people run into each other and we recognize one another as American Indian people, one of the first things you say is, hey, where are you from? Now that doesn't mean what neighborhood. That doesn't mean what city. That doesn't mean what state. That means what nation. After that, they say, oh, you're from someplace. What community are you from? And the reason why we do this is we're looking for a relationship. American Indian culture, I think, is pretty similar going from the Atlantic to the Pacific, to the Mexican border, to the Canadian, even up into Canada, where we're trying to build a relationship. So the first thing American Indian people do is they're like, am I related to this person? Who are our common ties? Now, one would say, well, that seems kind of strange. Well, in the United States, there's only 3 million American Indian people. Now, there's a lot of people who self-identify as American Indian, but in reality, it's closer to about 3 million. And so we tend to all know the same people. We tend to know our relatives. And so the first thing we're trying to do is look for, is there a relationship there? Am I related to this person? So one of the first things we say is, where are you from? And that's not a question to offend. We literally, truly want to know. And then if we don't know, maybe they're from Meskwaki Nation, maybe they're from Ho-Chunk Nation, maybe they're from three affiliated tribes. Maybe they're Cheyenne, Arapaho, and folks are like, oh yeah, you know. And then you start exchanging knowledge, information. This one time I was at Black River Falls powwow. This one time I was in Tama. And so right away, Indian people start to build a relationship with one another because there's so few of us and we're always trying to reach out for one another. Now, that being said, you have the ancestry question, like with the Elizabeth Warren deal. She took a DNA test. And I'm hoping that there's some laws passed with the FDA because it's fraudulent to say that you can test, find out somebody's ethnic DNA, because there's no such thing. All they can tell is who you're related to. So if they've taken a test group of people and they say, oh, you're Norwegian, oh, you're Chinese, oh, you're Spanish, oh, you're Catalonian, that's because there's somebody in Catalonia that took, you know, spit in a tube, and you're related to them. And what they're doing is they're saying, you are now Catalonian. And so one of the things that's happening now, like with Elizabeth Warren and many others, people are taking DNA tests and it's saying, I'm this much in American Indian DNA. Well, that's really, really sketchy because these companies will not share their algorithms. They don't make them public. And not only that, I mean, there's been articles by the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation. They interviewed Kim Tallbear, where some people have even put their dog's DNA in, and it's come up as 20-30% Indigenous. And so you can look that, you know, don't take my word for it. Look it up yourself. Google CBC, Kim Tallbear, read the article. There's also another article with The Verge by Angela Chen, where they talk about the same thing. And so there is no way to tell ethnicity through DNA. And that's created some huge problems in Indian country because we have leaders and we have people in our community who we decide through our ways, whether it's tribal councils or traditional governments or our traditional speakers of our various families. We have people speaking for us. And now we have a lot of people who speak for us who we don't know, who are claiming some, you know, distant, ambiguous American Indian ancestry, but these folks can't tell us, you know, who their family is. Mm-hmm. They can't tell us what band or what nation they're from. They can't tell us, you know, anything about themselves, what clan they are, and those things really put up red flags. Now, everybody's heard the story in Indian country about, oh, my grandma's a Cherokee princess. There must be a million Cherokees and a million Blackfoots. And every time I meet a real Cherokee, I shake their hand. I'm like, man, if I finally get to meet a real Cherokee, you know. And what that means to say, if you're claiming Cherokee ancestry, that means you're enrolled or you're a recognized descendant or you're a lineal descendant, depending on blood quantum and how the various nations do their citizenship criteria. But that means you're from either one of three bands recognized by the federal government. And so these are things that have created a lot of problems. And a lot of these problems have been ongoing for some time. But Elizabeth Warren, unfortunately, has really exacerbated these problems and really, really made it hard. I have nephews and nieces that have red hair, freckles, have Latin last names who are left out in the cold because of their physical appearance, but they are all known by the community. They are all known by their family. They are all known by their nation that they come from. And those members of our nations are getting left out in the cold so that we can have folks kind of, you know, ethnicize themselves. And you know, there was a famous case in Washington where you had a Euro woman claiming to be African-American. And then now I guess the new phrase is she's trans-Afro, which really is not fair to the black community with all the struggle that they have gone through the entire history of this country. It's also not fair for people just to randomly and arbitrarily claim some American Indian ancestry, speak for our people, take our jobs, and not been part of the struggle. Not been part of the struggle. And I will state that there has been times in our history where we have had people who were non-Indians who became members of the nation. There was a famous chief on the Red Lake Nation called Charles Bonga, who's black. And there's a whole beautiful story to that. When I was out on the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation growing up out there and going to high school and riding bucking horses, we had a cowboy out there by the name of Ducky Harris. Ducky Harris was a black cowboy. And Ducky Harris could speak fluent Lakota, and he killed cows and fed people just like Lakotas. And people looked at him as the people. But Ducky Harris never went around trying to speak on behalf of the nation, even though the community looked at him as part of the people.
So basically, if you're part of the community, no matter what your blood quantum is, and I'm putting up quotes, you are part of the community. You're Native. And I think that's the big thing with Warren, is that she put it on a college thing, and nobody had ever seen her, even at a powwow or a fry bread feast.
Well, you know, anytime we go to a powwow, we always run into folks. And, you know, a lot who say, you know, I'm part this, I'm part that. I'm like, oh, okay. And everybody kind of does the nod. Nobody wants to be mean. You know, we need allies, and we need accomplices in our battles for our rights, our treaty rights, our rights as the first people here. But be an ally, be an accomplice. Don't replace us. And again, I'll say American Indian is not the same as indigenous. And I'll always use that term. If it was good enough for Russell Means, it's good enough for me.
Hey, Barry, always great to have you on the show. This was Barry Hand, a Twin Cities language speaker and all-around great guy. We were just talking about Indian identity. We'll be right back. You're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Minneapolis, hey, it's me, minus the face paint, from the Legion of Doom, Hall of Famer, Road Warrior Animal. Now, on May 11th, I'm coming back to the great state of Minnesota for the Women's of Nation wrestling event. That's right, me. Come take a picture, get an autograph, put on a spike photo pad. I will be there in face paint. In my garb. Come be there. Minneapolis, May 11th. Women's of Nation. Oh, what a rush.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States. And 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
I'm here with Greg, owner of Northland Visions. Greg, what is Northland Visions?
Well, thanks, Robert. Northland Visions is a Native American art and gift store. We concentrate on woodlands and plains Native American art and gifts from our surrounding tribes.
Why plains and woodlands art?
Well, my father is Ojibwe from northern Minnesota, and he started the company 18 years ago, and we wanted to represent the state. So we have the Ojibwe of northern Minnesota, and then Wisconsin, Michigan, and towards the east coast are the woodland tribes, and then southern Minnesota you have the Dakota, and then you go west, and it's North Dakota, South Dakota, Montana, and up into Canada are the plains tribes. So we started the company, Northland Visions, as a Native-based gift packaging company offering unique gift baskets filled with local Native-based foods like hand-harvested wild rice, wild berry jellies and syrups, and much more. And Northland grew so fast, we needed to move from our home-based business to a storefront, hence our start on Franklin Avenue. Here it is, 18 years later, and we've expanded to our new location, which is twice as large in northeast Minneapolis, and we're located in the historical Miller Textile Building. We grew from our humble beginnings of making seasonal gift baskets to offering original paintings, sculptures, beadwork, quillwork, turquoise jewelry, blankets, moccasins, drums, dream catchers, and the largest selections of Native-based beads and supplies in the area, which is also available on our online store at northlandvisions.com. So be sure to follow us on Facebook to get up-to-the-date notifications on events, sales, and new products on our Facebook page, Northland Visions Native Art and Gifts. And also come down to visit us at Northland Visions for your gift-giving needs or a little something for yourself. We are only 7 minutes away from our old location with plenty of parking and wheelchair access at 861 East Hennepin Avenue, or visit us on the web, northlandvisions.com.
That was Greg of Northland Visions. Thank you so much, Greg. Pini Gigi.
Thank you, Robert.
Genocide, lost language, rape, isolation, colonization, assault, disease and torture, school, lost family, abuse, relocation, lost customs, allotments, hate, reservation. Fear.
History has taken its toll on our families. Our fathers and grandfathers, our mothers, our grandmothers, they didn't deserve to be raped and abused. I don't deserve to be raped and abused. Today I walk with pride. I'm reclaiming my body, my heritage, and traditional customs that value all living things. I'm learning healthy boundaries, and I stand with Minnesota Indian women to end sexual violence. Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. This portion is brought to us by...
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Neighborhood Cafe.
Good food, good friends, good food. Hey, I want to welcome everyone back to Native Roots Radio. I'm Awake. I just want to, thank Mary Kunish Podine for all she does for us and spending time with us every week. She spends time and gives us that really great report. And I also want to thank Barry and Maggie for their insights and contributing to the show.
Hey, you know one thing I want to talk about, Chusuke? I want to say thank you to each and every one that you mentioned on this, right? And Mary Kunish Podine and Maggie Lorenz, and especially to my Chusuke. I call him Chusuke. I call him nephew, Barry Hand. You know, he does a lot for the family, the community, and you don't know how much we appreciate you, Barry. Especially, I just heard a couple stories. I'm not going to get into it right now, but a story about my chujunk over here and mm-hmm. myself. And I thank you, Barry.
Ahoo. Hey, so also, I just want to give everyone a shout out too. Next week, we'll have John Greendeer on again, and also Winona LaDuke. So look forward to that. Wendy, you got a little update here before we go into your big section, next section?
I do. I have a fantastic, I don't think my mic is working. Eric, is my mic on? My mic's not on. Okay, so I have a really
great, here we go, there we go. Okay, we have great news. So the Humane Society of the United States did an undercover investigation and had an online petition, people calling, people writing, because they found out that Dow AgroSciences were testing and doing pesticide testing on 36 beagles. Now, the Humane Society of the United States online petition got over 350,000 signatures. People called Dow. People wrote to Dow. People emailed Dow. They got so much backlash from having these 36 beagles in the laboratory that guess what? Dow AgroSciences said, we're going to stop the testing. We're going to stop the testing. But let me just say this. It was not enough. And Humane Society of the United States said, that's great. You're going to stop the testing. Now we need to make sure that these dogs are going to a legitimate and safe place. So the Humane Society of the United States is working with the Michigan Humane Society, and because these dogs need to be rehabilitated. These dogs spent their whole mm-hmm. life in a cage. They don't know how to walk on grass or walk on a leash. They don't know anything about being outside of that cage. So the Michigan Humane Society, which is a local shelter, have people there who can help foster these dogs, rehabilitate these dogs, and get these dogs out of the lab. So we're really happy about this. This is great news, and I just want everyone to remember that right now in the United States, there are 60,000 dogs who are being tested in various ways. So we need to get all these dogs out.
Yeah, thank you, Wendy. That's a huge deal, and thank you for the update. Say, we really don't like to talk about 45 on this show because we have bigger and better things to do, right. But I just want to mention this was sent to me. Trump doubles down on Keystone Oil Pipeline with new permit. This is an article by Robert Tuttle and Jennifer DeLisle. Presidential permit replaces one blocked by court decision. American Petroleum Institute applauds Trump's approval. President Donald Trump, Trump issued.
It's hard to even. It's hard. I know it's hard.
45.
To say his name.
Yeah. He issued a new permit for TransCanada Corporation, the Keystone XL pipeline, Friday, this past Friday. And, you know, he's overriding the blocks from local courts. So the move aims to undercut legal challenges to the $8 billion project, including a November ruling by a Montana-based district court judge that faulted the State Department's previous environmental analysis. According to a person familiar with the matter, it could pave the way for the beginning of some
preliminary. Preliminary
work.
As my grandma, my Italian grandma would say, "Oh, Madonna mia."
Preliminary. But this is not good, and this is not good news too for our line three, because if he's going to be changing the laws by a swipe of the pen and overriding local government. That's not good, and so we need to keep an eye on that. And again, you know, Standing Rock has taught us a couple things, and one of them is, you know, we know how to camp, and we know how to resist, and they just don't know how to divest.
Yeah, this is pretty bad news, but you know what? With this pipeline, it's good news one week, and then the next week it's bad news, and then, you know, it's kind of like a tug of war. You know, and who's gonna win the tug of war? I hope.
Well,
45's
really giddy. He's doing a lot of stuff. He wants to get rid of health care, and mm-hmm. He's pretty giddy after the Mueller report came in, and you know, his handpicked attorney general gave us the little news on he's innocent, and let's go tear down the America a little more for my 1% friends.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. Hour two coming up with talking about the powwow for hope and a lot more.
Excited. We are a Lusa Nation. We are a Lusa Nation.
Robbins Kaplan LLP protects and defends American Indian tribes because for too long they have faced a competitive disadvantage when litigating against powerful forces. With its American Indian law and policy practice, Robbins Kaplan LLP seeks to redefine excellence for high-stakes litigation representation in Indian country. Founded and led by former United States attorneys Brendan Johnson and Tim Purden, their American Indian law and policy practice exists to bring justice to tribal clients whose claims in the past have been dismissed or ignored due to their underdog status. Their American Indian law lawyers understand the challenges tribes face when state and local government infringe on tribal sovereignty and the federal government neglects its trust responsibilities. Their passion for tribal sovereignty and self-determination is the driving force behind their practice, fueling their tribal advice and advocacy, especially when tribes are forced to litigate against powerful interests. Robbins Kaplan LLP, representing American Indian tribes, tribal government boards and commissions, individual tribal members, and American Indian business and business concerns. For more information, visit robbinskaplan.com.
The Tom Hartman Show. Now that's Smart Radio, AM 950, KTNF, St. Louis Park, Minneapolis, St. Paul, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Correspondent Natasha Chen is in El Dago, Texas.
We've been watching people living on the U.S. side going toward Mexico today. They just go about their daily business. They run errands. They go to the dentist, see their families. They say that a lot of people cross to go to work and maybe live on the other side. And so this is going to be a really big impact on their daily lives. Of course, the commercial cargo traffic goes through a different port about 2 miles away from us.
Former Texas Congressman Beto O'Rourke has officially kicked off his quest for the Democratic presidential nomination. Correspondent Leila Santiago reports from the campaign rally in El Paso.
He really did focus a bit on immigration as one of his top issues, and that's because, again, where we are right now.
about just half a mile from the southern border, U.S. and Mexico, where they meet, talking about what has really become a big headline over the last few days. A lot of families who are now being housed under an international bridge saying they are humans, too.
O'Rourke is holding two other events in Texas today. The findings of the Russia probe are due out in mid-April, and multiple publishers are interested.
When Attorney General William Barr releases the full report, expected to be in the middle of next month, it'll first go to Congress. But soon after that, several publishers will be ready to put it out in book form, albeit a redacted version. Melville House, Skyhorse Publishing, and Scribner, in conjunction with the Washington Post, are among those with editions planned. Government reports are not copyrighted and can be published by anyone. As with previous releases, such as the 9/11 Commission report, the Mueller findings also will likely be available for free from a government website. I'm John Stolness.
The 400-page Mueller report will not be turned over to the White House beforehand. I'm Ann Cates.
This is John Greenhut, and if your teeth are stained from coffee, tea, or smoking, Power Swabs is the answer. In 5 minutes, you'll see 2 shades whiter teeth, and in 7 days, 6 shades. Even better, there's no messy strips or trays that you'll have to leave in your mouth for an hour. Just swab your teeth for 5 minutes, and you're done. To try Power Swabs, call 1-800-679-0969. Your bright white smile will have your friends talking about how great you look. Try it risk-free. 1-800-679-0969. That's 1-800-679-0969.
Introducing GoTo by LogMeIn, the most comprehensive suite of solutions that help you meet, call, message, and more anytime, anywhere. GoTo is everything you'll ever need to collaborate and win together, brought together. That includes award-winning products like GoToMeeting and GoToWebinar, plus new innovations like GoToConnect, the first truly unified video and voice product, and GoToRoom, an all-in-one smart and simple room solution. GoTo brings the best of unified communications and collaboration software together so you can kick some business. Learn how at GoTo.com.
Our children represent our nation's most precious resource. Within them lie the hopes and dreams for the future of our country and the world we live in. Unfortunately, many children are victims of abuse and neglect. If you suspect a child is being abused or neglected, call your local child abuse agency. That's from Durson Manufacturing, where they're always working to make our area a safer place to live, work, and raise a family. That's your friends at Durson Manufacturing in Watertown. On the air because they care about the safety of your children.
Art lovers, it's time to celebrate, learn about, and collect local art at the St. Paul Art Crawl, running April 26th to 28th. The Spring St. Paul Art Crawl, presented by the St. Paul Art Collective, is a must-do experience that you will love. Over the weekend, you will have the chance to explore a wide variety of art while touring through local artists' studios, lofts, and galleries. Up for purchase will be paintings, photography, pottery, sculpture, fiber arts, and more. The Art Crawl sprawls over 34 locations. Join the Art Crawl and discover outstanding art for your own. And when you buy local art, you're providing to artists so that they may continue to create the art we love. The Metro Transit is supporting the local art community, too, with free transit passes. Download your pass to ride buses and light rail for free during the Art Crawl. Be sure to get details at stpaulartcrawl.org. That's stpaulartcrawl.org.
Robbins Kaplan LLP protects and defends American Indian tribes because for too long they have faced a competitive disadvantage when litigating against powerful forces. With its American Indian law and policy practice, Robbins Kaplan LLP seeks to redefine excellence for high-stakes litigation representation in Indian country. Founded and led by former United States attorneys Brendan Johnson and Tim Purden, their American Indian law and policy practice exists to bring justice to tribal clients whose claims in the past have been dismissed or ignored due to their underdog status. Their American Indian law lawyers understand the challenges tribes face when state and local government infringe on tribal sovereignty and the federal government neglects its trust responsibilities. Their passion for tribal sovereignty and self-determination is the driving force behind their practice, fueling their tribal advice and advocacy, especially when tribes are forced to litigate against powerful interests. Robbins Kaplan LLP, representing American Indian tribes, tribal government boards and commissions, individual tribal members, and American Indian business and business concerns. For more information, visit robinskaplan.com.
With your AM 950 weather, this is Eric Nelson. Today will be sunny with a high near 40. Tonight, mostly clear with a low around 22. Sunday, scattered flurries before 11 a.m. with a high near 44 and a low around 29. Monday will be partly sunny with a high near 48 and a low around 31.
EatLocalMinnesota.com's Restaurant of the Week is Crooner's Lounge and Supper Club, offering a unique and contemporary spin on continental cuisine. Crooner's specializes in food and drink made popular in the 1920s. Check out this fabulous dining experience at 6161 Highway 65 Northeast in Minneapolis.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut. He need cut a dude.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Hey, Cudahy, to all my friends and relatives in four directions, you're listening to Hour 2 of Native Roots Radio Presents, I'm Awake. I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Neighborhood Cafe, good food and good friends. Also by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations. Howl!
Our studio audience didn't howl.
We didn't tell them to. We should have gave them a warning. They're
gonna be, I'll give them one.
They're going to be our guests up next here in the next segment here. We just thought we'd scare them a little bit. So, hey, I want to – let me read this here. I want to introduce my awesome and beautiful wife. It says it right here. Wendy has been an animal advocate for many years. She's a volunteer Minnesota State Council member for the Humane Society of the United States, and she works on animal issues at the state level. Tell us your name, Wendy, please.
Hi, everyone. My name is Hanaji Hihani, which means cares for them. And I was given that beautiful name by my daga here, Curtis. So I always like to thank Curtis every week for that beautiful name. It really means a lot to me.
Well deserved.
Thank you so much. So I was reading an article. It was written by Paul Venema, and it's dated March 25th, 2019, about celebrities who are rich and they help animals. And it really makes me happy that this happens. So the story, the name of the article is Luck Ranch, and it's a story about Willie Nelson. So I think everybody kind of knows who Willie Nelson is, right?
Yeah. Redheaded stranger.
That's right. Okay. And the name of the article is Luck Ranch, over 70 rescue horses roam Willie Nelson's Hill Country Ranch. So Paul Venema writes, a world away from the stage and with the steering wheel and his pickup truck instead of his guitar, Willie Nelson loves a few things more than to go on a drive around his 700-acre Texas Hill Country Ranch. So he calls his ranch Luck, and Willie Nelson in the article smiles as he says, when you're here, you're in luck, and when you're not, you're out of luck. So over 70 horses roam Nelson's ranch. Most of them were rescued right before they went to the slaughterhouse. Mm-hmm. This is what Willie Nelson says, and I quote, my horses are probably the luckiest horses in the world. They get hand-fed twice a day, and they were just ready to go to the slaughter, and they are really happy horses. So thank you, Willie Nelson, for what you do with these 70 horses. I think this is fantastic. One of the stories that I remember was a story about John Stewart. He was the late night TV host for 16 years on The Daily Show. And him and his wife, Tracy, started a sanctuary. It's a farm sanctuary for animals. And really, his wife, Tracy, is the one who really started this. And they rescue animals that were sent, who were also going to be sent to slaughter. But these are animals that people eat. So cows and chickens and horses and, well, not horses, but there is people who eat horses in the United States. But anyway, so the sanctuary is named Farm Sanctuary, and it's in Middleton, New Jersey. The sanctuary is for neglected animals. And among the neglected animals were two goats who were ready to go to the slaughterhouse, but they jumped off the slaughter truck. And these two goats ended up in the New York City subway. And could, if you could imagine two goats in the subway, that must have been some sight, although you do see a lot of strange things in the New York City subway. I grew up in New York, and we've always saw strange things, but I've never seen two goats. But anyway, Farm Sanctuary rescued these two goats, and they are living now their lives out in the sanctuary. I don't know if anybody remembers the story about Frank, the cow. He was a cow who jumped off the slaughter truck and was running around in Brooklyn, New York. And he was also rescued by the Farm Sanctuary. So Frank has been living there for like 2 years now. So he really helped himself and got out of that cruel slaughter. I want to just say a couple of things here, too, about Morgan Freeman. And I know a lot of people don't think bees are animals, but they are. And he converted his 124-acre ranch to a honeybee sanctuary because we're losing honeybees. And if we lose the honeybees, guess what? We don't get any plants. We have no food. We have no vegetables. So he recognized this and has a bee sanctuary.
That's awesome.
I think it's awesome. I really do. And he also says, I don't have to put on a bee suit or anything to feed them because he's never been stung by all those bees. So I wanted to just ask people if, like, if I was a celebrity and I had money, what I would do and how I would want to help animals. And I think I would do something similar to Jon Stewart and his wife, Tracy. Farmed animals, I think, get the raw end of the stick, and billions are killed every day, and they live horrible lives since the moment that they're born, and then they go to slaughter. So they honestly live a hell on earth. And it's funny to me that, you know, when people see a cow who jumps off the slaughter truck and runs, everybody's cheering for the cow, right? They're like, yay, the cow is saved, yay. And then they eat a steak dinner. You know, so I think there's a kind of a disconnect there. So farm animals are, and all animals are special for me. But I think I would like buy a lot of land and have farmed animals on there and just have that. What would you do, Robert? Any?
Whatever you tell me to do. Because happy wife, happy life. No, I agree. You know, and I just want to say what we do to our sacred animals, we do to ourselves. And I know we had a guest on a few weeks ago that talked about when they're attacking the wolves, she's a wolf clan, and they're attacking the women.
That's right.
And so I just want to bring that up. But again, you know, I would definitely do a sanctuary because we have rescue dogs, and there's a lot of rescuing that needs to be done to our sacred animals, and they are sacred. They are relatives.
Dega Curtis, what would you think you'd want to do?
Like I was saying, what really hurt me last summer was that, you know, we got a central air conditioner out there, and there was a beehive underneath the air conditioner, and the bees were flying all over and stuff like that, right? And we had a problem with that air conditioner, right? And they come in, and I said, we sat out in the yard, and they never stung us at all. And our plants were looking beautiful. They came in to work on our air conditioner, and they wouldn't work on it, so they sprayed and killed all them bees. And our plants looked like, I can't say it, like bad.
Yeah.
Ooh, 7 second delay.
Yeah. So if you were rich celebrity, you might do something.
I would do a Morgan Freeman thing with the bees because everything pollinates and everything. I'd love to see
you
more bees.
Sound like Morgan?
Yeah. And you know what we could do? We could plant more things that like lavender. Bees like lavender. They like clover. They like magnolia trees.
Yeah, we do with the lilacs, and they loved it.
Yeah.
They loved
it. I'm
glad
I didn't have to pronounce any of those words.
Everyone listen in every week because each one of us every week can't pronounce a word that we normally say.
But we're humans.
Just perfectly every week. So.
Human beans.
Yeah, you missed the last hour.
How about our studio audience here? What would you do?
On deck guests here.
On deck guests. They're up next.
So I have two rescue dogs.
Awesome.
And I think I would start my own rescue if I had all the money in the world.
Excellent.
But I'm definitely behind you guys with the pollinators, and I, you know, keep a really great garden to promote pollinators and all of that. So
yeah, that's great.
Awesome. We got.
And then if we could just move that mic over a little bit, and
Wendy's taking over my show.
Yeah, so I guess one thing that I would do is I would try to create some kind of, like, contraption to kind of clean out all of our, like, lakes and rivers and, like, oceans. I seen on Facebook, actually, there was, like, this large device that was, like, going through and, like, sweeping through the ocean and, like,
getting rid of all the plastic.
Yeah, yeah, that you find in all the fish.
And that you would help the marine life. Mm-hmm. So that's awesome.
Yeah.
Love that. And they do. You know, I was just reading an article the other day where some whales beach themselves, right? When they get sick, they come out of the water and they beach themselves. And it died. So the whale died. It was really sad. But they cut open the whale's stomach, and what they found were plastic bags, flip-flops, people who wear those plastic flip-flops, plastic water bottles.
Straws.
That's a big one, right? And most people just say, hey, it's only one straw, said 1 billion people, right?
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, that was one of my favorite Christmas gifts, even though that's a colonized holiday. I got those metal straws. I got metal straws for.
Yes, you did. You got stainless steel. Stainless steel straws, yeah. So, yeah, all these.
I need to drink out of straws because of my delicate teeth and gums. So I need to.
Whatever.
So I think everyone, whether you have money or not, really anyone could help animals, you know, if you you don't have time during the day to volunteer, then you could donate money. You could foster animals. You could rescue dogs, right?
There's always a simple thing that I've done over the years since you turned vegan was like not have a meatless Monday.
A
for
meatless
sure
Monday,
would help.
Yep. Helps animals.
If you're still eating
helps
meat,
the
that's
environment.
Cool.
I mean, cows and factory farming is one of the biggest CO2 polluters. You know, people think that cars and buses and planes, but agriculture, factory farms, big polluter. So we could all do just a little bit. Even sharing, people who don't even want to do anything, if they see a post on Facebook that promotes animals, helps animals, share it. That's all you got to do is press the share button. And you could spread the word that way. So there's a little bit everyone could do.
Well, I like you say, share the planet with our relatives with four legs and hooves and tails. And you know, Wendy, I always appreciate your segment about our sacred animals.
Also, that tomorrow we're going to be at the protesting the Shrine Circus at the State Fairgrounds on Snelling Avenue in St. Paul, 9:30 to 10:30.
Yeah, and I'll be signing protest signs if you want to come on out. No, I'm just kidding. That'll be a good time. So, hey, we'll be right back. We're going to be with some representatives from Powwow for Hope, one of our favorite powwows. We'll be right back.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
The Neighborhood Cafe is a locally owned and operated business and proud sponsor of I'm Awake. Enjoy a great happy hour Tuesday through Saturday from 3 to 6 p.m. with specials on food and drinks. The Neighborhood Cafe serves breakfast, lunch, and dinner, all made from scratch daily. Located next to O'Gara's in St. Paul off Snelling and Selby, stop in and try one of their specialty sandwiches or delicious burgers paired with a local craft beer. More at theneighborhoodcafe.com.
J&S Bean Factory is a native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Native-owned Meg Mechanical is your local heating, ventilation, and air conditioning professional. Meg has the experience needed to diagnose and repair your heating and air conditioning systems. Whether repair or complete mechanical design, we do it all. No job is too big or too small. Meg Mechanical has completed projects as large as U.S. Bank Stadium and will provide the same great service in your home. Visit magmechanical.com or call 612-655-5339. Please remember Mag Mechanical when you have HVAC needs. Mention this ad to receive 1 hour of free service.
B Resale, clothing, thrift, and consignment store located at 2613 Nicollet Avenue, Minneapolis. B Resale, where casual, secondhand men and women's clothes are bought, sold, and traded at this easygoing shop. B Resale, find jewelry, sunglasses, shoes, hats, purses, pants, shirts, and more. B Resale, where you can find Native Roots Radio I'm Awake swag. B Resale, that's a small B, period.
When we go out to browse for books and grab something to eat, Moon Palace Books is where we go.
This unique bookstore is located at 3032 Minnehaha Avenue in Minneapolis, just minutes from St. Paul.
A great place to find one-of-a-kind books, cards, and great gifts.
Geek Love Cafe at Moon Palace Books has cold-pressed coffee, pizza, salads.
Local, organic, fair trade, vegan, carnivore options.
Beer and wine.
Community and performance room.
Great parking.
What are we waiting for? Let's go to
Moon Palace Books, 3032 Minnehaha Avenue, Minneapolis.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake. I'm your host, Wakunja Hade.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Downtowner Woodfire Grill and Midwest All-Star Wrestling.
Ooh, yes. Choke
out. That's right, Gorilla.
That's right, Jack. Say, hey, you know, we have some representatives from Powwow for Hope here. And I was just thinking back, I was just going to say this, and then the bumper music came up, is that Powwow for Hope was probably on one of our first big guests to have. We had Joy here, and so we're really happy to have you here because it brings us we try to say that our show's a little better, but I'm having really trouble today, so I don't know.
We're all having trouble today talking.
yeah, good thing this is not – oh, it is a radio show.
It's live.
Oh. Hey, can you introduce yourselves and tell us what you do for the organization?
Yeah, sure. My name is Donna Estrosa. I'm a prevention and policy coordinator at the American Indian Cancer Foundation. A lot of work that we do is focused around like prevention, physical activity, healthy eating, some tobacco work. So we go into communities and, help them come up with plans and things like that to make, sustainable changes in their communities around those areas.
Wow.
Around prevention.
Awesome. And what do you do and what's your name?
My name is Alyssa Bolio and I'm the operations manager at American Indian Cancer Foundation. So my work is a lot behind the scenes, HR, our operations daily management of that, some finance stuff. And then I'm also on our Powwow for Hope committee.
That's right. And I think I dealt with you, didn't I, last year? Because we did the show last year, Powwow for Hope, and live. We did a live show, and we were only on an hour back then. And we had over 15 guests because you guys had all the politicians out there that wanted to talk, and people that were dealing with Powwow for Hope, and it was an awesome show for us. It was really fun and exciting. Hopefully, we'll do that again this year.
Yeah, we're hoping to get some bigger representatives there again. So
yeah, absolutely.
Were you guys out too? Going to be out at Fort Snelling again this year?
Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And then what's the date on the Powwow for Hope?
May 4th.
That's
first
awesome.
Grand entry at 1 p.m.
Oh, yeah. That's awesome because that's Native American month. There's a lot going on, so that's really, really, really cool that that's going on. So let's talk a little bit first about what you do and how does American Indian Cancer Foundation help Native Americans?
Absolutely. Our mission is to eliminate the cancer burdens on American Indian and Alaska Native people through improved access to prevention, early detection, treatment, and survivor support. And one of the ways we're able to do this work is by having our annual Powwow for Hope, which is our largest annual fundraiser. We've been hosting this since 2012, so it continues to grow each year, and we're hoping to have a large turnout, so exciting stuff.
It's a great facility, too. One of the best for a powwow that I've been in indoor.
Do you know how many people you had attend last year? Because I know the place was packed.
It was packed.
Yeah.
It was between 1,500 and 2,000.
Wow, nice. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's great.
Well, and then the powwow is a traditional powwow with all the dances. And I know you have special things for cancer survivors and people that are dealing with cancer, special dances and there's just a lot of celebration and survival and also just a celebration.
Yeah, it's a very unique and beautiful event. So like you said, we do a lot of like – so we have pink shawl, a pink shawl dance honor song where we honor, you know, breast cancer survivors and their, you know, caretakers and things like that, which is really great. But we also do like a jingle dress song, which is – it is incredible. It's like a healing song, so it's very powerful. We have like jingle dressers come around, and we have survivors or people that are battling cancer, you know, come and sit down in the circle, and the jingle dress dancers dance for them, and it's just you can feel the power in that, and it's really great. Mm-hmm. And another unique part about our powwow is that it's a like an all volunteer powwow. Like we said, it's a fundraiser, so we have people come in. Like all the drum groups are volunteer. They come in. We obviously don't have the capacity to, you know, provide them funds, but we're grateful that they come in and they're willing to do this because of the cause. So we have drum groups, the arena directors, you know, MCs, everybody just comes in and, you know, sells their items on behalf of American Indian Cancer Foundation and Powwow for Hope, and they donate all that back to us, which is incredible.
That is incredible because you have quite a few vendors there, quite a few. We probably donate some T-shirts, too, for you guys to sell.
Awesome.
We have some Resist T-shirts that say Native Roots Radio in the back. But
I have one of those.
Ho! Hey!
Ha-ho!
Ho!
I'm going to give you a big ha-ho on that one.
Oh, all right. So, again, Powwow for Hope, May 4th at Fort Snelling, the Boys, right next to the Boy Scout, or is it the Boy Scout?
It's a base camp, they call it.
Yep, the base camp.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thank it's the Curtis. Red brick building. They just finished up their
and
other
they
building.
They remodeled it and everything over there. It's really nice out there. I just drove by it yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
It's really nice out there.
Yeah, so we'll be having traditional lacrosse and, you know, things like that. Hopefully getting hooked up with one of the teepees. So we usually have, like, a lot of different things, activities going on around. We have, like, the rock wall climbing that kids can participate in.
And one thing I remember from that powwow last year, I walked through that colon.
Oh, yeah.
I said, what am I walking through? And they said, you're walking through a blow-up colon. I said, oh.
Sometimes my colon feels that big.
Ouch.
Sometimes.
That's one of the first questions the base camp director asked us this year. He said, are you going to bring that colon?
Shouldn't the colon have a name?
But when you walk through the colon, it kind of shows you, like, the polyps that you can get. So, and
no, it was,
cancer,
you know, it's a true story.
Right.
Very
it's promoting colon health and colon cancer prevention.
Yeah, it really is. I'm glad you straightened us up there.
I mean, it is funny, but it's also
no, it's a serious
important.
Thing. Right. It's important.
Right. But, wow.
So come on down and walk through the colon.
Right. So we only got a minute here. We're going to come back with you guys. Before we do, I wanted to ask, Eric felt left out about what he do with a lot of money. So, Eric, can you give us a quick rundown?
Sure. I was thinking of maybe establishing some sort of renewable energy, like solar panels, in a place that could also collaboratively function as a wild life reserve.
Nice. Right on. Good thoughts. Good thoughts.
Good job, Eric.
Hey, we're going to be back with American Indian Cancer Foundation workers that are. We're going to be talking about the Powwow for Hope and what they do for the community. This is Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. We'll be right back.
G
Jay Selby's, an airy plant-based cafe serving up American classics, nestled in the heart of St. Paul in the historic Cathedral Hill neighborhood at 169 Victoria Street. Jay Selby's serves great plant-based food and only plant-based foods, where customer service is a priority, great food a tradition, and a comfortable, cool space for like-minded people to gather and enjoy a sustainable, environmentally friendly, and compassionate meal. As the Star Tribune writes, Jay Selby's is an innovative vegan restaurant that does a spot-on Big Mac. It's a good day for good food.
While I'm pregnant, I can keep our baby safe by not drinking, smoking, or using drugs. But how are we going to keep her safe after she's born?
When I grow up, I look forward to dancing in powwows, going to college, and being successful. But I don't want to be one of 3 American Indian women to be raped or sexually assaulted in her lifetime.
As relatives and friends of Native women, it is our responsibility to stand up and speak out for every woman's right to be safe in her home and the community.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
When we go out to browse for books and grab something to eat, Moon Palace Books is where we go.
This unique bookstore is located at 3032 Minnehaha Avenue in Minneapolis, just minutes from St. Paul.
A great place to find one-of-a-kind books, cards, and great gifts.
Geek Love Cafe at Moon Palace Books has cold-pressed coffee, pizza, salads.
Local, organic, fair trade, vegan, carnivore options.
Beer and wine.
Community performance room.
Great parking.
What are we waiting for? Let's go to
Moon Palace Books, 3032 Minnehaha Avenue, Minneapolis.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Ho-Chunk Gaming Wisconsin, wherever you are and however you like it, we're just the place you're looking for. 6 unique, fun, exciting, winning destinations located throughout central Wisconsin. Make your rounds to Wittenberg, Nakusa, Black River Falls, Toma, Madison, or Wisconsin Dells for the hottest slots, most exciting games, award-winning guest service, delicious food and spirits, lodging, and live entertainment. Join the Ho-Chunk Gaming Rewards Club for free. And with a single card, you can earn valuable points no matter which of the 6 locations you choose to play. That means more exclusive offers, giveaways, cash back, discounts, and much more. Visit us online to see all we have to offer and find the fun times nearest you at HoChunkGaming.com. So wherever you are and however you like it, we're just the place you're looking for. Ho-Chunk Gaming Wisconsin, Wittenberg, Nakusa, Black River Falls, Toma, Madison, and Wisconsin Dells.
Experience the difference. Ho-Chunk Gaming Wisconsin.
Must be 21 or over to play.
With your AM 950 weather, this is Eric Nelson. Today will be sunny with a high near 40. Tonight, mostly clear with a low around 22. Sunday, scattered flurries before 11 a.m. with a high near 44 and a low around 29. Monday will be partly sunny with a high near 48 and a low around 31.
Don't miss the Home Improvement and Design Expo this Sunday only at the Healthy Sports Center, featuring up to 150 home improvement companies, giveaways, and more. It's the Home Improvement and Design Expo this Sunday at the Healthy Sports Center. See it all at expoguys.com. That's expoguys.com.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
And this portion of the show is brought to you by Moon Palace Bookstore and Bee Resale.
Yeah, you can pick up all our swag at Bee Resale. We got our Native Roots Radio stuff out there. And yeah. Hey, so we're excited here. You know, American Indian Cancer Foundation workers here, we're going to be talking about the powwow for hope and what you guys do. So that's a just tell us the information you want to give us. I think we want to talk a little bit about what your organization does.
Sure. So as far as the powwow, some things that we're working on building up in our programs are enhancing our cancer services, our survivor support program. We do deliver care packages to our survivors as well. So the funds from the powwow will help us grow that program. We also provide education and resources to communities around the country, so not just Minnesota.
So with all that being said, although we've had a lot of success in the past years with Powell for Hope, but we feel like we can enhance our services a lot more with the funds that we raise at Powell for Hope. What we plan to do is launch a more meaningful survivorship program, and we're kind of talking about that earlier, delivering even better cancer care packages that include, you know, more resources for survivors and people that are going through cancer. We also want to build that a bigger campaign and more initiatives to address cancer inequities and burdens that are faced by American Indians, Alaska Natives, all throughout the nation. So.
Well, I know you guys do a lot of pre-care too, because like, get a colonoscopy and get a $25 gift certificate. I know that's been a program that you guys have done. And that's really cool, because cancer isn't what it used to be. If you can catch cancer early, you have a high survival rate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's actually Colon Cancer Awareness Month right now. And so we have that program going on. Anyone who completes a screening is provided with a $20 gift card. So the colon cancer screening. And then anyone who refers to American Indians can receive a $15 gift card as well. Take advantage of that.
Well, I do need to take advantage of that.
And how do people find out or connect with you about the colonoscopy screenings?
Joy Rivera. I'm sure a lot of people in the community know Joy. Mm-hmm. She's really great, she's a really strong advocate for this kind of work. So her number, she left us with her, her office number, which is 612-314-4843.
Cool. And then, so like, let's say I want to get my colonoscopy. Would I contact Joy then and say, hey, set me up, or how does that work?
You would want to contact her after the fact, and then she will just ask you to provide some sort of evidence that the screening was completed, and then she will follow through with the gift card.
Yeah. Oh, so you could just go to your regular doctor.
Yeah, like, any clinic you want to.
Go to your regular doctor, get the paperwork saying that you had this completed, and then contact her. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's very clear now. I wasn't too clear because I only get mine every 5 years, but I'm due.
Yeah.
I'm due, so.
There you go.
Yeah. I'll bring my certificate.
Get a hold of Joy right away.
Yeah.
That's right. So what else do you guys do? What else do we want to talk about? This is the whole month is colonoscopy awareness and so.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, Joy's been out in the community quite a bit, spreading the word about this, giving resources, promoting, this program that she has here, the $20 gift card and the referral program. So she's been really out there hustling the community, letting them know you need to get this done, and it's been very effective. She does a really great job, and I know she just created a new resource. We have a lot of resources available for different types of cancers. We have like breast cancer information. Another big movement that we have is mother's milk is medicine. So we do that as kind of like a prevention factor to cancer. So we have a lot of those resources on our website, acaf.org.
Oh.
So yeah, colorectal cancer. Joy just, like I said, made a new one. Yeah. So we have a lot of tobacco related information on there as well. Cessation stuff. So.
Well, let's go back talking about the powwow, because, I know there's plenty of parking. You might have to walk a little bit, but there's plenty of parking, and I know there's handicap parking right outside there. Mm-hmm. So there's no excuse, and I know there's going to be a lot of people out there. And what time's the powwow?
1 p.m. is the grant first, or the grant entry. Yep. I think we just limited it to one grant entry this past couple years. Mm-hmm. So due to time.
And it's huge. It's huge. And then we have vendors there, and then their money's going towards American Indian Cancer Foundation.
Yep. So the vendors that come in, we recruit team fundraisers. So we have people throughout the community and nationally that, raise funds for us via online, our First Giving site, that come, from everywhere and raise funds for us. But the vendors that do come in are actually teams that sign up to be there the day of to either, provide like crafts that they make or, sell snacks, sell food, things like that. So it's really big, community work that people do. And it's really important that, And we're really, you know, grateful that community, you know, comes together and does that on behalf of our organization.
And on that, again, too, if there's no parking real close, there's going to still have the shuttle coming out again.
Yep. Yeah, we'll
right?
have the shuttle.
Yeah, they had real nice shuttle service out of there, too.
Yeah.
Wow, good point.
Another thing, too, is they redeveloped it, so there's like a larger parking lot there now, so which is nice.
I know. I parked over there and got a bus, and boom, I was already up there in less than 5 minutes.
Yeah.
I got there early.
And I would just like to say that my first powwow that I ever went to, I just couldn't believe how beautiful it was, and the dancing and the singing and the drums. And it's so colorful, and it's really, really a special thing. And I encourage, you know, I mean, the powwow's for everybody. It's not just for Native American people.
Everyone's welcome.
And I think it would be just, like, awesome for people who aren't Native American to come and experience it and just kind of see what goes on, because it really is an awesome day.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, our new governor was there last year.
Yep.
And
yep.
Peggy Flanagan's there pretty consistently. But yeah, it was awesome. We had them on our show, and it was awesome that they were just hanging out like regular folk, mm-hmm. enjoying the powwow.
Yeah, definitely. It's good to have their support.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's good to have Peggy locked in there, so we can, if we don't like stuff, we can call Peggy.
Right. Hopefully you're listening, Peggy, that you'll be out to the powwow again this year with the Gov.
Oh, yeah, that would be nice. I'm sure Peggy will be there. So we have a lot of things going on. So we have the powwow, and Jerry Dearling's going to be the MC this year? Is that what I heard, or am I making things up?
Oh, no, not this year. This year the MC will be Randy Greshick.
Oh, okay, yeah, good, yeah. Good. Maybe that's the powwow tonight that I'm thinking of.
I think we're on the search for another co-MC, so, yeah.
Well, interestingly enough, this year we had 4 people come forward and say they wanted to help us with arena directing and being an MC.
Nice.
So we, of course, wanted to have them help us in any way that they could. So we said yes to everyone.
Yeah.
So now we're just working out that bit of it.
Yes.
So.
Yeah, that's good. So there's food there, and there's healthy snacks being handed out as people showing you that you can eat healthy. And I know cancer, it isn't always proven, but, you know, your diet's very important no matter how healthy you want to be. Wendy, do you have anything to add to that, being the doctor you are?
I'm not a doctor. I am a pharmacist, though, and I do talk with people every day who have different ailments, so diabetes, heart disease, obesity, smoking. So it is. It's important. So getting as healthy as you can, and even small changes really make a big difference. So yep. Even little changes really make a big difference.
And speaking of healthy foods, our chef this year that is doing the catering at the powwow, Brian Yazzie, he's really great and really about like bringing back indigenous traditional foods. So we'll have a nice meal prepared by him, which we're really excited about.
That is exciting.
Yeah, we try to bring in native caterers. So we had native caterers all along. So excited to have Brian back. And
I know I've had his food. I think I was at a wake where I had his food, and it was just beautiful with the nuts and the fruits and things that are more traditional than fry bread.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've seen the menu. It looks really good. I won't give anything away, though.
So this powwow is free.
Yes. Absolutely.
Free to the public. So anyone that wants to powwow or learn about powwows or learn about powwow, there is a powwow etiquette that you would have to follow, but it ask people there, and they'll be gladly to tell you not to do that, or not to do that.
always show respect, and the other thing, like Chusuke was saying there, always show respect, and like I said, you want to come up there, if you want to take a picture of somebody, ask them for permission first.
Good one, yeah, that's a good one, that is a really good one. But everyone's welcome. So, you know, if you're curious and you want to support Native Americans and to support this great powwow for hope, definitely come and bring your feedback.
Bring your feedback, and I'm excited to go, and I can't wait to see all them beautiful people out there. I can't wait.
There are powerful. I know there was a lot of survivors there last year that I knew personally, mm-hmm. And so that's very powerful.
Female and male, and both, and it was amazing, you know, and hearing their stories, and I seen one of my brothers out there that completely beat it, and mm-hmm. I'm happy.
Yeah, you never realize how big of an impact makes until you have, you know, all of them in one, you know, room like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is awesome. So we got like a minute left, a minute and a half left. Let's go through this one more time. The month and the powwow. What's going on?
Yeah, so Powwow for Hope is May 4th, first grand entry at 1 p.m. at the Fort Snelling Base Camp. You can find more information on our website at www.powwowforhope.org, and we have all of the information listed on there.
Yeah, and if you want to learn how to get involved, you know, you can start a fundraising team or donate to our silent auction. Lots of ways to get involved.
That's awesome. And, you know, again, I appreciate you guys spending your day here because it's reminiscent for me because we had Joy on, like, one of our first guest here years ago. So it's great to have her legacies here, spreading the word that there is hope.
Yep.
And it was one of our first live shows at the Powwow.
Yeah.
And it was intimidating, but awesome.
I'm still sweating from that. No? Hey, thanks again. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be back with What Does My Elder Think?
MN350 is a grassroots, volunteer-driven organization fighting for climate justice and a swift transition away from a fossil fuel-based economy. To get involved, visit mn350.org or find us on Facebook at MN350. Building a climate movement in Minnesota.
Jay Selby's, an airy plant-based cafe serving up American classics, nestled in the heart of St. Paul in the historic Cathedral Hill neighborhood at 169 Victoria Street. Jay Selby's serves great plant-based food and only plant-based foods where customer service is a priority, great food a tradition, and a comfortable, cool space for like-minded people to gather and enjoy a sustainable, environmentally friendly, and compassionate meal. As the Star Tribune writes, Jay Selby's is an innovative vegan restaurant that does a spot-on Big Mac. It's a good day for good food.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Genocide, lost language, rape, isolation, colonization, assault, disease and torture, school, lost sexual family, abuse, relocation, lost customs, allotments, hate, reservation. Fear.
History has taken its toll on our families. Our fathers and grandfathers, our mothers, our grandmothers, they didn't deserve to be raped and abused. I don't deserve to be raped and abused. Today I walk with pride. I'm reclaiming my body, my heritage, and traditional customs that value all living things. I'm learning healthy boundaries, and I stand with Minnesota Indian women to end sexual violence. Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Ho-Chunk Gaming, Wisconsin, wherever you are and however you like it, we're just the place you're looking for. Six unique, fun, exciting, winning destinations located throughout central Wisconsin. Make your rounds to Wittenberg, Nakusa, Black River Falls, Toma, Madison, or Wisconsin Dells for the hottest slots, most exciting games, award-winning guest service, delicious food and spirits, lodging, and live entertainment. Join the Ho-Chunk Gaming Rewards Club for free. And with a single card, you can earn valuable points no matter which of the six locations you choose to play. That means more exclusive offers, giveaways, cash back, discounts, and much more. Visit us online to see all we have to offer and find the fun times nearest you at HoChunkGaming.com. So wherever you are and however you like it, we're just the place you're looking for. Ho-Chunk Gaming, Wisconsin. Wittenberg, Nakusa, Black River Falls, Toma, Madison, and Wisconsin Dells.
Experience the difference. Ho-Chunk Gaming, Wisconsin.
Must be 21 or over to play.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake. I'm Wakunja Hade.
And this portion of the show is brought to you by Jay Selby's and J&S Bean Factory.
Oh, hey. So this is towards the end of our show here, but we saved the best for last. And this is What Does My Elder Think? Welcome, Uncle Curtis. Tell us your name and what you're going to talk about.
Ha-ho, Pinagigichuske and Chuzunk over there. You know, my name is Moshke Hanajinga. I walk on a white cloud. Colonized name is Curtis West, and I'd like to be something else, but anyway, that's what he's doing. I say hi to my baby girl, Kim, at home, my beautiful wife.
Hi,
and,
Kim.
Hey, and then I'd like to say ha-ho to all my family and relatives and friends in four directions. You know, we always pray all is well for y'all out there, so that's what we say. And I like it for my Chuzunk and my Chuske here. They give me a couple minutes to kind of spread out stuff, and so I give shout-outs, some events, and some birthdays and stuff. Like, I like to start off with birthdays because that's a sweet day for anybody. Uh-huh. And we like to say happy birthday down all the way down to this little burg down in Tennessee. And we're going to say happy birthday to Taylor Usselton down that way. And then we like to say there's these two guys I had on my baseball team and basketball team down on the west side. They're twin brothers. I want to say happy birthday to him today. There's one. His name is Alejandro, but we call him Hondo, and his brother Santana. And we want to say happy birthday to you guys, man. I know you're listening because I told you I was going to tell you about this today. And then I want to give a little early birthday out to my baby brother, Gary West.
Oh,
I want to say happy birthday, Nache. You know, that's a fourth boy in the family. So we're going to say it like that. And then one down to Iowa. Her name is Lori McKee Yonker, and it's her birthday today, too. So we're going to say happy birthday. Oh. We got one that's a plumber. He don't, you know, he wears his pants a little funny. So he's a plumber's crack, they call him. But Bradley Moyer, and we're going to say happy birthday to Brad Lee, you know.
Hey, Brad.
Happy birthday to you. And then, like I said, we like to give a shout out down to our relatives down in Winnebago, Nebraska. And so I know your mom listening. So, but if you're not listening, Ma will tell you that we happy birthday from Native Roots Radio, Quincy Bass. So, hey, we're gonna say happy birthday, Quincy. And then there's a couple people older than me, so they're elders to me. So, but anyway, I want to give a shout out to my little mom, my little Nani. Her name is Betty Greencrow.
Oh,
happy birthday, Nani! And like we say it like that. And then there's another one that we want to talk about is William Goodbear. Happy birthday, Dega. And we want to say another one out there is Lionel Cloud. And this one is I call her a little mom too. My auntie, you know, in a white way, and Dolores Beatty. And that's a happy birthday to her. And and Ronald Perry. And we want to give some shout-outs. And one, of course, I want to give a shout-out to, because what he had some good words today. I want to give a shout-out to Barry Hand. I want to say, ha-ho, Barry. And we want to give a shout-out again to the Midwest All-Star Wrestlers, the bosses. I want to say hi to and ha-ho to David Archamo and his co-founder over there, Eli. So I want to say ha-ho that way. And the other one we want to say ha-ho to is Native Against Heroin. We want to say ha-ho to James Cross. I know you're listening, James. You told me you were. And we got some events coming up. And, you know, we always say language is very important to us, to what no matter what tribe you're from. So we want to say Ho-Chunk Nation's class for beginners is Monday at 5:30. And then Thursday, it's the beginners and advanced at 6:30 at the branch office in St. Paul. You know, if you don't got the address, you can look it up on their site, our site. And, but like I said, you can bring something to share, to eat. And me and Chusky always say, you know, if you don't bring nothing, tie on your big feed bag because there'll be plenty of food there.
Ooh.
And then we got another thing coming up. It's tomorrow. It's 31st of March, and they say, why the history of treaties? It goes from 2 to 3 o'clock at the Eastside Freedom Library, 1105 Greenbrier Street in St. Paul. And anyway, coming up, too, on April 28th, and we're going to keep bringing this one up, it's Sunday. It's the Lakota Language and Native Powell and Barry Hand will be there, you know. So we're going to talk about that one. On April 2nd, the Indigenous Food Lab fundraiser, Jeffrey Urban Hacienda, 219 Southeast Main Street in Minneapolis. And then, what do you call it? They said that the sous chef, Sean Sherman, will be there too, you know, brunch and out there at following. But April 6th, Saturday from 9 to 6, the promise to protect training for MN350, Stop Keystone XL Line 3, and every fossil fuel, you know, that comes along, all right?
We got the Barry's thing is basically a question about treaties at the Freedom Library tomorrow at 2 to 3.
Right.
And the history of treaties, and it has a panel, and it's going to be awesome. And I know a lot of the students there that are going to be answering questions, so I'll be there.
Hey, and the other thing that's going on right now today at Augsburg University from 11 to 8 or 9:30 tonight, the powwow is going on today, right? Mm-hmm. At the they call it the, I might be saying this wrong, but they call it the Cy Melby Gym, 715 23rd Avenue South, Minneapolis. And grand entry is at 1 and 6 p.m. And the MC will be Jerry Dearley out there, and the host drum is Stonebridge. And then April 2nd, the Ho-Chunk Kids Movie Day, they call it from 10 to 2 p.m. Ho-Chunk Youth, contact the office, and they're going to be watching that new Dumbo, the elephant show over there today. But
I heard it got really bad reviews.
Oh, my God. I didn't want to hear that. But and anyway, coming up, too, on April 2nd is the Ojibwe Community Language Nest at 6 p.m. at Eastview Rec Center at 1675 6th Street, St. Paul, Minnesota. A language class, May 11th at 1 Eagle. And we're going to talk about again that we're going to give a shout out on May 11th for the Women of Nations Eagle Nest Shelter. You know, the Midwest All-Star Wrestling will be doing their fundraiser out there for the group. It's going to be at Sibley High School in Mendota Heights. And the doors open at 6 with a meet and greet, and there's going to be all kinds of good All-Stars out there. Last year, I got the claw attacked on me.
And the Baron's going to be there again.
He sure is.
Yeah, he is.
Dega, do you have a gaga for us this week?
I sure do. I said my gaga, my grandma told me, be grateful for all your blessings because we are truly blessed. Give thanks and praise to the Creator for our health and our well-being.
Awesome. Hey, I would like to end with these thoughts from Chief Plenty Coop's. The ground on which we stand on is sacred ground. It is the blood of our ancestors. The revolution is kicking into high gear. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office. You've been listening to Native Roots Radio. I'm awake. I've been your host, Robert Pilot. I would like to thank Mary Kunush Podine, Maggie Lorenz, Barry Hand, American Indian Cancer Association, Wendy Pilot, and Uncle Curtis. If you've been listening to this show, you are the resistance.
We are awake.